Good morning. A couple announcements. The first is regarding me. You see my face, it's kind of a mess. I went to the dermatologist and he had a nice day. But he's concerned. Last year, remember, I had surgery. And so I'm inviting you to intercede for me on this matter. The second is that our brother Scotty is recovering from COVID, but he still has it. And Ralph Terpstra's right foot is infected and doesn't seem to be responding to antibiotics. And the last item, Glenn Terpstra died last night about 8:04. And so we need to keep all these things in mind as we pray and as we have our service. Let's stand for the call to worship. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Thank you.
breath and come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Romans 2. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works out what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you that you are patient with us and that you have condescended to reveal yourself to us in all of your holiness and your glory and your majesty, that you have also given us your law whereby we may read and understand our depravity, and that we may understand that we are under condemnation. For if we wish to live by the law, we have to obey all of it without fail. And we understand that this is we're not able to do this. But we do thank you and praise you that you did send your Son, who lived a life of obedience, and he learned obedience, and even unto death, the death of the cross. And that we who live by faith are robed in his righteousness, and that he bore all of our sin. We thank you for this that you have revealed to us, and we ask that we who are your people might be joyous and give you thanks, for our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Also from Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you that we, your people, have access to your throne of grace. We thank you that as we come, we may come with our petitions, that we may boldly approach your throne of grace through the shed blood of your Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, whereby we call you Father. We thank you that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, also intercedes for us. So as we come before you, Father, we come and we express our desire that you would be with each one of us here, and that you would cause us to meditate upon your word, that we would be as trees planted by rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in season, knowing that if we do these things, whatever we do will prosper. We thank you and praise you that you have revealed yourself in your word, and we would ask that we would be those who would fill our mind with your word, that we might not sin against you. And Father, we ask that as your people, that we would meditate upon your promises. In the last few months, Father, we have lost a number of our brothers and sisters, and we think in particular of our loss of Glenn last night. We ask, Lord, that we would remember that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and that we do not need to grieve as those without hope, but that we have hope in the living Jesus Christ, and that you are the God of the living and not of the dead. We also thank you that you have revealed that you delight in the death of your saints, and that absent from the body is to be present with you, and that those who have died in Christ are now in your presence, and they are those who see Jesus, and we thank you for this hope that we also may share. We ask also, Father, that you would be with those in the congregation who have illness or some other problem with their body. We ask that they too would remember that this mortal must put on immortality and this corruptible must put on incorruption, and that failure of the body is only in anticipation of the resurrection and receiving a new body, which we will have for eternity. We thank you and praise you for these things that you have revealed to us, and we ask that we would have a right focus, and that we would meditate upon these things and thereby be able to be salt and light. And we ask that we would be your faithful servants, and that indeed we would speak of your grace and mercy to those around us, and that we would be those who would exalt Christ, knowing that your word tells us that when he is exalted, men and women will be drawn to him. We ask you that you would also work in and through your servants who are in positions of authority in this country. We ask that they would influence the legislation and influence decisions that are being made. We know, Father, that you have promised us to be with us until the end of the age, and we ask that we who are your people might continue to pray, and that those who are your servants in these positions of power might remember that they are to seek first the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father, for the expectation of the soon return of your Son. We ask, as we anticipate his return, that we would be those who would pray, and that we would pray so that your will would be done, and that each of us would be molded to the image of your Son. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Any children this week? Any children? Good. We missed you last week. Yeah. You weren't here, and we didn't have a children's message.
The Lord tells us in his word that the whole earth is to praise his name, and that we are to speak of his salvation every day. So if you remember, a few weeks ago, we learned half of a song. We learned one verse. And today we're going to learn the second verse. Okay? So if you remember, and if you adults know the song, you can sing too. Okay? So the first verse goes like this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Remember that? You remember that? Okay. Second verse goes like this. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Okay, so now you have the whole song, okay? So what we do is we sing the first verse, and we sing the first verse, and then we sing first verse, second verse, and then the first verse, and we're done. Okay? Now you think you can do that? You think so? Okay, here we go. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Think you can remember that song? Think so? Good. Because sometime in the future, I'm going to ask you to come up and sing it for us. Okay? All right. Very good. Thank you. Let's stand to sing Jesus Saves. Our scripture reading today is taken from Daniel 12, the last chapter in Daniel. So our series in Daniel will be done this morning. Daniel 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, and such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn away turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." O Lord, once again we ask that you may illumine our minds by the light of your word and take captive our hearts by the power of your love. In Christ's name, amen. Chapter 11 is the record of a time of great trouble for God's people. And that time of trouble culminates in the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. And he is the character mentioned in Daniel 11:21, "And in his place shall rise a vile person to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue." Antiochus Epiphanes is the character that takes up most of the bottom end of chapter 11. And you'll see in that passage also that the prince of the covenant is done away with, and that would be the high priest of the time. And the priesthood, you may recall, was something that was supposed to be handed down to the children of Aaron. Well, during the reign of Antiochus Epiphany and subsequent to that, the high priesthood became an auction position. People would buy and sell it. And often people were in it who had nothing to do with the family of Aaron. And also you'll have in chapter 11 a mention of the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation that Antiochus Epiphanes did was that he sacrificed a pig on the altar before the temple, and then he took the broth of the pig and sprinkled it all around the temple area, and he set up an idol to Zeus in the Holy of Holies. That is the abomination of desolation referred to in Daniel 11. So we have a question. The question should arise in your mind. What about those who are faithful to God? What about those saints that serve God in that time? Chapter 12 addresses this question. Chapter 12 is addressed to those who are faithful during this awful time of trouble. And you'll see that at the very beginning, at that time, at the time of the trouble, Michael, we ran into Michael before, he's the archangel, and he's specifically tied to the people of Israel. And it says that at time Michael stood up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. During this time of trouble, Michael is watching over God's people. And you'll see that God's people are delivered. And those who are delivered are those whose names are found written in the book. What book is this? The Old Testament mentions this book in Exodus 32. Moses refers to it. Here in Daniel, it's referred to. Paul refers to it in Philippians chapter 4. What is this book? Well, in Revelation 20, it's revealed to us what that book is. In Revelation 20, is like a courtroom. You have a courtroom with a library. And if you read Revelation 20, you'll see that the courtroom is set up, and there's a book entitled The Life and Times of Russell Kent. And the life and times of Russell Kent are pulled out off the shelf. And the book is open, and all the garbage of Russell Kent's life is laid bare before the court. The law and the prophet, excuse me, the law and Satan are the accusers. They're the accusers. But by God's mercy, Russell Kent has an advocate. Okay, Jesus Christ the righteous. And anytime the law comes and said Russell Kent lied, Christ says, I paid for that. Next law comes and says, Russell Kent swore, took God's name in vain. Christ says, I paid for that. And so on. All we go through, Russell Kent's life and times. And when all that is done, that book is closed. And then there's a podium over here with another book. And over here on this podium, this other book is opened. And as you page through that book, the only thing you find are names. That's it. No names. Nothing else. Names. No degrees, no accomplishments, no biography, just names. And by God's mercy, Russell Kent's name will be there. And because his name is there, he then has eternal life. This is the book that is referred to here in Daniel. This is the book that says, at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. It's the same book. It's called the Book of Life. Now, you've heard me say that the Old Testament is a shadow of the reality. And the New Testament is the reality. So when the Old Testament refers to the Book of Life, and it does in Exodus 32, Moses refers to it as he intercedes for the nation of Israel. And here Daniel sees Michael refer to it. This is where God records the names of those who are his children. And by God's mercy, your name should be there. None of your accomplishments, none of that, your accomplishments are irrelevant. As Isaiah says, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. The righteousness of Christ is the only righteousness whereby we are clothed, where that this name of yours is now in that book. And so it is with these people that survive this time of trouble. And then we are told that many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, the people that are being talked about are the people who are alive during this specific time of trouble. It's not speaking of any other generation. It's speaking of those people who are in this time of trouble, the intertestamental period where Antiochus Epiphany was during his evil. And then we read that these people who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. See, being a witness for God is nothing new. God's people who are faithful have always borne witness to the truth. And these people who are faithful during this period of trauma will turn other people to the truth also. And these will shine like the stars forever and ever. Now, the New Testament tells us that you and I are witnesses also. I don't know whether you've ever watched anybody try and defend the truth and argue for the truth. We're not called to argue for the truth. We're told to bear witness to the truth. Two different things. Two different things. You will never win an argument with anybody if you start from different places. Somebody who believes the truth starts here. Somebody who does not believe the truth starts here. And both of you may be completely logical and reach your conclusion. But it's where you start. I look at creation, and because I know the scriptures, I see various things. Somebody who does not believe the scriptures sees something else. And we, when we sit down together at a table, will never persuade either of us to change our mind, because we start at two different places. We are to bear witness to the truth. And so it was during this time of trauma under Antiochus Epiphany and all the other Greek rulers of the intertestamental period. And these people who bore witness will turn others to the truth. But there are those who do wickedly, and they are opposed to the covenant. And in opposition to the covenant, they corrupt people with flattery. It's easy to be deceived by flattery. It's quite easy to be deceived by people who know just how to touch you. Bob Dylan had a song once that said that the devil knows just how to touch you, make you do what he wants. Flattery. And these are wicked. But the people, those people who know their God, what will they do? They will be strong and carry out great exploits. If you read 1st and 2nd Maccabees, you'll see some of the exploits that those who were faithful to the Mosaic Covenant carried out under the oppression of Antiochus Epiphanes and the other Greek rulers. And they have, and these people are those who understand and instruct. Understanding, bearing witness, and instructing are all products of knowing the truth. If you understand the truth, you are compelled to teach it. You are compelled to bear witness. Okay, you and I, listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28. All authority is given unto me. As you go, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded you. You and I are the recipients of that command. The command is to make disciples. That's the command. And it's based upon the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Daniel, we've read how Daniel was being told of the coming of this one who would end iniquity. This one who would rule as the king of a kingdom that was forever. You and I are on the other side of that prophecy. And as we go through this again, you'll see that those people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Early in the church, the saying in the church was that the martyr's blood is the seed of the church. It's the same in the Old Testament. It doesn't change. These people who were faithful, as the high priest in Daniel chapter 11 was killed, he is only a representative of many others who were also killed because of their faith and their refusal to worship the pagan gods. And Daniel, having seen this, was told that he was to shut these words up and seal the book. This message that Daniel was receiving was for a generation that followed. This is contrary to what is said in Revelation. In Revelation, we are told that the time is at hand. It's not to be sealed up. The book of Revelation is written to the seven churches of Asia. Daniel is written primarily to a generation yet to come. And he's told to seal this book up until the time of the end. The time of the end from Daniel's perspective and from the book of Daniel's perspective is the end of the kingdoms of this earth. Remember that image in Daniel chapter 2? When that small stone is cut out from the mountain and crushes the feet of that image, then the kingdom of God is being established. And that is what Jesus Christ refers to when he says in Matthew 28, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. The kingdom of God is established. And Revelation reminds us that you and I are priests and kings. That's who we are. It's not future. You and I are priests and kings. We are ministers of the covenant. The prince of the covenant in Daniel chapter 11 is the high priest. The Levitical priesthood was used by God to foreshadow the eternal priesthood, which consists of God's people today. Christ is our high priest, and you and I are priests. And Daniel is told that he's to seal this up. Daniel is told that at some point in time, people will go to and fro and knowledge shall increase. The Hebrew there means inspection. Okay? It doesn't mean that we travel from here to New York or wherever. It means that they're inspecting something. What are they inspecting? They're inspecting this words written by Daniel. The Jews have something in their tradition that speaks to this. When Alexander the Great came marching through Palestine, the high priest and those with him went out to meet Alexander the Great and showed him in Daniel. See, this is you, Alexander the Great. This is you. And Alexander left Jerusalem and Judah alone. They began to study what Daniel had written. And in the process of studying them, they became aware that God was being faithful to his word. And there's the question, how long shall the fulfillment of these things be? And the man in linen is the same man we see in chapter 10, verse 5. And then he says, it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, and these things shall be finished. The desecration of the temple by Antiochus Epiphanes was in 167 B.C., the liberation by Judas Maccabees, December 164 B.C. That's what God was speaking of. And then Daniel hears, and he does not understand. My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? But these words were not for Daniel. He was told to seal them up. And here he says, he's told, go your way, Daniel. The words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. This matter of time is an interesting thing, because the New Testament tells us, at the proper time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. At the proper time. At the end of time, in terms of God's dealing with God's people under the Old Testament dispensation. At the end of time. And God sent forth his son at the proper time. And then Daniel was told, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Old Testament prophecy is often multiple fulfillments. It's kind of like I stand here and I look out over the distance and I see one mountain peak and I see another mountain peak and then I see another mountain peak. And Isaiah 7 is a very good representation of that. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. The immediate fulfillment of that was Isaiah 8, where the prophetess bears a son, and his name is called Mahershala Hashbaz. But the ultimate fulfillment is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1. Here, in the end portion of Daniel chapter 12, we are looking at the ultimate fulfillment
of all the righteous. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifices is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Behold, is he, blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335 days. Daniel, but you. See, Daniel's not part of this time of trouble. He is receiving the vision and he's writing it down. And it's for a future generation. But Daniel, still, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Daniel understood something about the resurrection. We see this Hebrew understanding in John chapter 11. Martha and Jesus are talking. And Martha says, oh, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says something about the resurrection. And she says, yes, I believe in a resurrection at some future time. And then Jesus says those magnificent words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The Old Testament concept of resurrection is very real, but it's not the concept that you and I have. It's deficient. Just the way their concept of the Messiah was incomplete, so is their concept of the resurrection. So tell this book of Daniel, even the last chapter, this whole book, there are some very practical things that you and I need to take out of it. God is in absolute control. History moves according to his purposes. Particularly relative to his people. This whole book is written for God's people at a time of trouble so that they would understand that God is still on his throne and that God is not only on his throne, but as it were, he's orchestrating this. Even Antiochus Epiphanes. And central to all of this is the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the establishment of his kingdom that has no end. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples still didn't get it. You read Acts chapter 1, they asked Jesus, are you now going to set up a kingdom? They didn't get it. They were still thinking of an earthly kingdom. Jesus Christ is the king of an eternal kingdom. And if you know anything about the Noetic Covenant, you know this earth is not eternal. It has an end. The Noetic Covenant is, as long as the earth shall remain, the implication is that the earth is going to be ended. So as long as the earth shall remain, we have all these things. But the kingdom of Christ is eternal. And as Jesus stood in front of Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my soldiers would fight. But it's not. I suggest to you that if you look at history, church history in particular, any time that man has sought to bring God's kingdom into the earth, there is disaster. John Calvin tried to bring God's kingdom into Geneva.
And the result was disaster. And the enemies of the gospel used that disaster to undermine everything John Calvin ever taught. That was a problem. What about the Crusades? If you know anything about the Crusades, the Muslims have a case. Anytime we, as God's people, say, you Muslims are evil because, they point to the Crusades and say, ah, you Christians did the same thing. They have a case. Why? Because people tried to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. No, we are pilgrims and sojourners. We don't belong here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We serve a king who lives forever. And the consequences for you are, you can rest assured that in your personal life, in the affairs of nations, in your personal life, in your family, all is under God's control. He is working out his purposes. And I know that if you are God's child, the purpose in his life for you is that you be conformed to the image of his Son. God is busy molding you into the image of his Son. And you can be fully confident of this. And you say, even in trauma? Yes, even in trauma. Even in pain? Yes, even in pain. You see, Paul writes in Romans, all things work together for good. And the good is defined as to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is busy making you look like Christ. And so as you read a book like Daniel, Daniel is telling you that God is absolutely sovereign. Nebuchadnezzar was proud, and then for 7 years he ate like a cow. He was humbled. God is able to humble anybody at any time. For whatever mystery, he doesn't choose to do that. But he's able. Remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar? Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not bow down. That's part of what it means to live by faith. That's part of what we understand. That God is able. Nothing is impossible for him. And this book of Daniel is explaining this to God's people who are going to go through a highly traumatic experience. The temple is going to be desecrated. The high priest is going to be murdered. The priesthood is becoming something that is bought and sold. And this book is written to those people, that they might understand that all of this is according to the purpose of God. My dear friend, we have information in the New Testament whereby we may understand that the same God that ruled in Daniel rules now. And you and I have a privilege. We are priests. We're part of that magnificent group of people that has such high privilege. We are privileged to be members of the kingdom of God. And as members of the kingdom of God, guess what you get to do? You get to intercede for people. You get to offer up the sacrifices of praise. You get to offer up the sacrifice of service. You get to offer up the sacrifice of your body. What a privilege. What a privilege. And one day we're all going to stand before the King of Kings
And I trust that each one of you receive a well done, now good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of my kingdom. God is on his throne. And I would encourage you, as we see the things going on, particularly in our country and at this time, that you pray. That's the most efficacious thing you can do. That's a big word. That's the most important thing for you to do, is to pray. In God's wisdom, prayer moves the Almighty God. I don't understand it, okay? It's what the Bible teaches. How can I, a mere mortal creature, influence the Almighty God through prayer? I don't know, but I do. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I would encourage each of you, when you get upset about what's going on here or there or anywhere, go to your knees and pray. Don't get upset. Pray. The God that you are addressing is in control. You and I can influence people thousands of miles away. Isn't that amazing? Through the Holy Spirit. But you have to be convinced that God is on his throne and that he is working everything according to his purposes. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, since you've told us that in this world we will have tribulation and that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Grant that we may never grow weary. May we ever be armed and equipped for battle, and whatever the trials by which you prove us, may we never be found to be deficient. May we always aspire for heaven, wherein is our citizenship, and strive with all of our endeavors to glorify and exalt your name. Teach us to pursue righteousness and seek first the kingdom of God. Thank you for the hope of that blessed rest which is laid up for us in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to sing Christ Returneth. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.